What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Good morning. Nice to be with you on this beautiful Friday morning. And joining me in the studio is Natalie Nichols, Children's Learning Specialist. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Nice to have you back in after the school holiday period. Yes. How did you go with your big tribe over the school holidays? They survived okay?
We did. Yes. I worked a little bit part-time during that period, but also the kids had lots of fun. We went and stayed down south for a little bit, which was nice. And, it's nice to just have a little bit of a change.
A break.
Yeah, I think sometimes a great break for me, particularly as a mum. I don't have to wake up and make the lunches every morning or get the kids ready for school. Those kind of things are nice, I think, just to have the break of that routine too. So, yeah.
So your wonderful spreadsheet just kind of gets put on put on hold. I love it.
That's right. Break of routine.
We're going to be chatting about how parents can best support their child with a learning difficulty or even just kids that just find learning challenging. Mm-hmm. Great topic. Back after this. Topic, parents of kids who are struggling with learning, would this be almost number one kind of topic that you kind of deal with parents?
Yep.
And even in just conversation with other mums as well?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because one of the big things is that there is a significant proportion of kids who struggle or at least have been diagnosed with learning difficulty. Some might not necessarily go down the diagnostic path, and that's fine too. Mm. But there is as much as almost, 20-30% of kids who will struggle with learning in some aspect. And so that's really a big part of what I do is not only supporting the children, but supporting the families and how we can help the child on that learning pathway.
Challenging, isn't it, for a lot of parents who are not knowing what to do?
Yeah.
Where do they go? Where do they start?
Yeah, definitely. It can be quite overwhelming, I think, as a parent. Like, we already have so many things in our lives, particularly if we're working and everything else, and then you add that on top and not really knowing what to do, feeling really helpless, as a lot of parents say to me, I have a lot of people I speak to on tears on the end of the phone, because they feel so overwhelmed with what's happening with their child. They've done everything that they know within their capacity to do, and super compassionate and caring for their kids, love their kids to bits, and just kind of want to know what else they can do to help their child. So,
because it's easy to go, to miss the diagnosis.
Yeah.
Is probably, I would assume, an issue.
Yes.
And then, what's the matter? Why aren't you, but there's an underlying issue there.
Yeah. Looks, in some kids, there is definitely an underlying challenge. So particularly they may have a learning difficulty, which is causing their challenges. Sometimes there might be something else that's kind of causing these challenges as well, not necessarily a learning difficulty. And then you also have some kids, and this is fine as well, that some parents really don't want to go down that path of a diagnosis as well. So they may kind of know as a child themselves, they may have struggled or their partner may have.
Yeah,
okay. And, they have an inkling that this may be something else as well. It's a choice whether people want to go down that path. And there's no right or wrong way. One of the benefits is that it can help the school to identify and put the best support in place for the child if there is a diagnosis. But again, families, decide on different things, depending on their circumstances. So.
Indeed. Natalie, we'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. Talking about and kids struggling to learning. Did you say 20 to 30%? Was that roughly the figure these days that kids struggle?
Yeah, in general. If you're looking at just struggling in general, then it can be quite high. Now, that depends on obviously lots of other factors like where kids are located and things like that too.
Okay.
So it can be quite significant to some degree. When we're looking at learning difficulties, it is a little bit lower, more specific learning difficulties as such. But if we're looking at just in general, I think it can be quite helpful for parents to understand that, there are a significant amount and you're not alone. I think that's the really big thing.
Good.
A lot of parents can feel quite lonely in that journey and think, oh, am I the only one? Is my kid the only one that's really struggling with this? What did I do wrong? What am I not doing? What am I doing? You know, and it's really important that we're not hard on ourselves. You know,
yeah,
there's nothing that you're doing as a parent is anything wrong. And the most important thing is to have a look at, you know, what can we do to support them and what can we do to move forward? And one of those big things was having a look at today at the type of reinforcements that can really support our kids' learning.
Okay. You're talking from a parent perspective
from
or from
a parent?
Okay.
Both. I mean, both. Okay. You know, obviously this applies to teachers as well, but as a parent, we're also going to be faced with reinforcements that we can be using at home. So to do with homework or to do with assignments or study and things like that, you know, what kind of reinforcement or encouragement can we be using that can really help your child with their learning journey?
So this is almost if you suspect or you think there's a learning difficult challenge there.
Yeah.
These are the things that you can actually look at to do.
These are really helpful. And look, they can be also for kids who are just maybe feeling, you know, they're not applying themselves as well. So it's not necessarily just specifically the kid, those, but they definitely work with kids, with human beings, really, in general. In general, yeah. But if you're looking at specifically kids who are struggling with learning, these are really specific. So there are three types I wanted to talk about today. Mm-hmm. One is positive, one is negative, and one is punishment reinforcements. And as parents, we can also be quite unaware of how much impact that these can kind of have, because they're usually naturally things that we may do. And just remembering, obviously, that we always want the best for our kids and we're trying to do the best, but we also can be quite unconsciously aware that what we are doing and what we are saying and what impact that then has on our kids.
I keep saying it, the power of our words.
Yes.
It's so true. It comes up in so many conversations.
It does, yeah.
No matter who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
The power of our words.
It is.
They can tear down or they can build up.
Yeah, definitely. You know? But it's thinking about where has that come from? You know, most of the time it's come from when we were brought up.
Yes.
Have a think about how your parents spoke to you as a child, how they encouraged you to do your homework, what was the process they got you to do when you were struggling or needed to do something to do with your learning. And that commonly, that's something that you would unconsciously do. You know, it's not something that sit down and kind of analyze about ourselves. Mm. But also in the moment of how we feel. So we're feeling really stressed and really overwhelmed, you know, there's a lot of mums working out there and we've got a lot on our plate.
Yep.
So once we become quite overwhelmed, it's quite easy for us to go to the quick, easy, you know, natural default of a reinforcement that's not necessarily going to be the most beneficial for our child's learning and the journey forward.
So what would be a good example? Okay. When you talk about positive.
Yeah. So let's have a look at the three in more detail. So when we talk about positive reinforcements, there might be things like handing out a gold sticker or pocket money to kids who do their homework, or giving a kid a high five or a praise, encouraging in the moment that they're doing their homework or they're trying really hard. That's fantastic how you're sitting down and you're doing your homework. You must be doing so well at putting all that effort in. Mm. Or when you've finished your homework, you know, we can put some tallies or stars on the fridge. You know, it's that kind of that positive reinforcement to be able to get something done, right?
Yep.
If we're looking at negative reinforcement, it's not the same as punishment. I know the word negative is in there, but it's not actually as bad as it sounds.
Okay.
And this is really, really common unconsciously again, but it involves the removal of something.
Right. Hold that thought. We'll come back and chat some more.
Yes.
Talked about positive. We'll come back and chat about negative, but it's not as negative as what
you're
thinking.
No, it's got that word.
And Natalie Nichols is with me. We're talking about learning difficulties, learning challenge, learning. Do you call it learning difficulties or learning challenges or doesn't really
matter? It doesn't matter. No, look, there are lots of different terminologies, actually.
Yeah.
I do kids like to
struggle.
Just say I like challenges because it doesn't put our kids in a box of they have a difficulty or disability or things like that. So I'm a little bit more on the optimistic side of things. You know, so
glass
I
half
think,
full.
Yeah, that's right. So nice. I think if we're looking at our kids, you know, challenges are always a nice kind of a word. We all have challenges in life and sometimes we have a little bit more than others. So, yeah.
You started sharing about the negative reinforcements.
Yes.
So tell us about this. I'm curious.
Okay. So we covered positive reinforcement, which is, you know, when our kids might do their homework or something, we're giving you high fives, praise, encouragement, etc. Negative, not the same as punishment, but it's a removal or reduction or postponing of something negative to strengthen the behavior you want. So, for example, if you don't finish your homework by this time, you can't have your basketball practice. We can't go to basketball practice.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So the incentive is there to go, oh, okay, I'll do my homework.
So you wouldn't view that as a punishment?
No. Okay. No, no.
Punishment's different.
Because we're kind of removing. So if you think about it, you're removing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll talk about punishment in a minute. But you're removing the basketball practice, which is something they would like to do.
Yep.
And this is a really common one that many parents, look, I'm guilty of it too, you know, that we just naturally do, because many of us have actually been brought up like that too.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do this, you can't do that. You can't watch TV, go do your homework, you can't watch TV, you can't do, you know. So, and that's easier to do, to kind of have that negative reinforcement in place. And then when we're looking at punishment, it's imposing something undesirable.
Right.
You know,
okay.
Like either verbally kind of, you know, getting a bit on top, or, you know, we may have other forms of punishment for kids that parents may have, you know, locking kids in their bedroom until they do it.
Right.
You know, a bit on the harsher side, I suppose.
So going to your room, is that, would that be, is that,
well, if you're locking your kids in the bedroom, it's probably not ideal. Oh, you don't know what I heard last night, actually, from a lady. I was at the shops last night. I won't tell you which shop.
No, but, don't do that.
But she was telling me a punishment. Now, you don't say this kind of thing to me, but she was telling me a punishment that she used for her kids, because she wanted her kids, when they were teenagers, to be really good at school and really motivated and to have a really good attitude towards school and things. And so she was telling me that in order for them to do that now, she wanted them to have fear of her.
Right. Okay.
And so she said she puts them under freezing cold water.
Oh, no. What?
Yeah, don't tell me this. So I had a little chat with
Natalie,
her.
Natalie, it's only you and me here today. It's okay.
I know. And so I said, oh, you know, there's lots of encouraging and positive things we can do to encourage kids. We don't always have to go the default. But then she went on to say, actually, that was something that her parents used to do.
So that's what she knew.
That's all she knew.
Right.
And she, to be honest, she seemed like a really lovely lady. You know, it wasn't that kind of real, I'm doing this to punish my kids. It was
out of a place
of love.
Yeah.
It's a place of love. A lot of us kind of think, oh, my kid needs this because I need them to condition to be able to do this particular thing, and I want them to do well at school.
So come on.
So I'll punish them.
With cold water.
With cold water.
What does she do? Take them out the back and hose them off or something?
I think she said she turns the hot water off and puts them out. Anyway, lost the track. We've lost track, Mike. Okay, but what I wanted to talk about is that, look, there are lots of, everyone has lots of different types of reinforcements that they use, right? And so what we really need to have a look at is, you know, what does the research show that's the most effective? You know,
that's what we want to know.
What's the most effective way? We've got our positive reinforcement saying, you know, oh, we can give out some gold stars, we can do high fives. Now, this is not easy either.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll take a break and we'll come back. I can't get over the cold water.
I know.
Yeah. Was it cold or was it?
I don't know, but it freaked me out.
Maybe it was was it an ice bath?
I don't know.
Anyway. We'll come back Ed Sheeran. We're on 98.5 weekdays with Mike. Natalie Nichols is with me. We've been chatting about challenges with our kids with learning, particularly with homework. Homework is the big one, isn't it, really, Natalie?
Yes.
You know, how often do you hear they're just not going to do it. They choose not to do it.
Oh, look, if it was my choice, I would say no homework, to be honest. I think we now had a break in the afternoon, but we're not going to go there.
Well, do you know what? Just on that, I agree. I don't believe homework should be a thing, but that's just my personal view.
Yes, that could be another day.
I've just never got it. Why? You're at school all day.
I know.
Why on earth?
Keep going.
What's the point?
You need a downtime, don't
anyway,
we?
Should,
all
we,
right,
we
that's another topic.
We need a panel for that one day.
Yes, I can bring research in on that too.
And yourself and maybe Craig Hunter.
Yeah.
And we'll see what Craig thinks.
That sounds like a great
idea. I know
what
he'll say.
Because he's in the school.
Of course.
Yeah. I'll be the kids' advocate. All right.
back on track. Where were we?
So we're looking at a lot of comments that I hear from parents. So when I say things like, you know, we're talking about, oh, the kids not doing their homework, or they're trying their very best to get the reinforcement. You know, it might be cutting off Wi-Fi, or it might go, you know, lock in your bedroom, or, you know, you can't go to basketball, all sorts of things. But what happens when your child actually can't do it? So this is where I want parents to go, hold on a sec, let's have a look. Because then when I say that, this is what the common response is. See if this is anyone out here, right? Nat, they actually just don't want to do it. They know what to do. They just won't do it. I also get they just don't want to do the work. They don't want to try. They didn't do well on their spelling tests because they didn't practice enough.
Okay. That's pretty common.
Yeah, very, very common. So that's the most common shutdown when we're looking at these things. But what I really, really encourage parents to have a think about, there's underlying reasons. There is always a reason why a child won't do that homework or won't do that learning or won't do their spelling. You know, they might be tired, of course. They might just be in the afternoon, want a bit of downtime. They might, you know, just really and generally may not want to do it. But what I wanted to talk about is more what are the underlying causes that are related to this reluctance, and then how our reinforcement can help or hinder that child to be able to do that. And it depends on our approach and our supportive approach on how to figure out what else might be going on can actually, you know, again, progress or hinder our children without knowing it. Because remember, we're coming from a place of love, right?
Yeah.
We're doing what we only know to do. But what else could we be doing? It'd be really interesting as well to hear what kind of reinforcement other parents have had in the older generation. What reinforcement did their parents use to get to do it? Or did they just go and do their homework and spellings automatically after school? What about
Natalie, our generation was perfect. We just did everything and did what we were told.
Very, very good. You were just a good boy, Mike.
No, I wasn't actually. No, see, I didn't like doing homework. That's probably why I don't believe in it now. I wanted to be out kicking the footy.
Yeah.
Riding your bike. Yeah. We're going back a while to the 70s.
Yeah.
But, you know, but my parents didn't, it was never really, it was never enforced. It was my responsibility.
So natural reinforcement.
Yeah. Was that what you call it?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I didn't do it, and I did not do my homework a lot of the time.
Yep.
I think the teachers, they just knew after a while, no problem. What's new? You haven't done your homework.
That's right.
But then you'd get told off at school.
Yeah.
So I actually copped it. So it was my responsibility.
Yeah.
So it wasn't. But I think that's changed over the years, hasn't it? I would suspect.
Yes.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. Natalie Nichols is with me. We've been talking about learning challenges with our kids. Good morning, Tamara from Byford.
Morning, Mike. How are you doing? Morning, Nat.
Yes. Morning. You got a question for Natalie this morning?
I do. Both my kids have dyslexia, which makes life interesting and fun just in schooling in general. But my eldest also has autism. I think it came out as level 2 or something, so I'm not quite sure exactly what that does, because they're still trying to sort bits and pieces out with diagnoses and such. But the real struggle I've got is trying to get homework done in a positive manner when all he wants to do is come home from school and get straight onto the Xbox. He doesn't even want to go out bike riding anymore, which is the struggle I've got at the moment. What can I actually do in a positive manner apart from doing his homework for him, which I don't want to do because that's not helping him at all, to try and get the homework or at least anything that needs to be done?
Yeah, thanks
Natalie.
So much for calling in. And that's a really, really common question that I hear from many, many parents. So first of all, you're not alone. I think that's the big thing, that there are a lot of kids, and also particularly with kids with autism or even other learning difficulties as well, they can it can have things set in their minds.
Right.
And that's what they want to do, and nothing else is going to be an option. And that's what we call rigidity, being able to be flexible with our thinking. So I'm sure you can relate here to Tamara, where if your child is in a natural routine to go from home straight to the Xbox, then anything that changes that routine, that's not going to be something that's going to give me that feel good, you know, the dopamine fix, I suppose, the good feeling, then they're going to definitely be reluctant to do it. You know, it's like, I suppose, as human beings, we always want to have something that's going to give us a good feeling. Now, especially after school, you know, we have to pay so much attention at school. We have to be so switched on. So it's exhausting, and we do need to have that break. We really, so first of all, I encourage you to make sure your children have that break. Being able to remove something that a child is used to needs to be done gradually. So removing it straight away can be quite upsetting, and it can be quite
sudden.
It can be quite hard for a child. So it would almost be the gradual removal. You might have the length of time gets shortened over a period of days. So maybe if they're usually on there for 30 minutes, the next day you gradually reduce 25. I'd start with a timer, putting a timer on. You have this time for 30 minutes. The next day it might get reduced another 5 minutes. And you gradually reduce it till they don't really know that it's being reduced.
Right.
It can be over a longer period of time, but it's just those shorter periods of time that they'll be on it. And then eventually when you kind of get down to that lower period of time that you're happy with, and when they hop off straight away, because you're always going to get the tantrum, oh, I want to keep going, you know.
Of course.
When they hop off straight away, reward them. That's fantastic, you know, that's great. And just kind of, and that will reinforce that positive behaviour from there, right?
Yeah.
Once he's gradually...
We had set up the Xbox so that he can't go on without either my husband or I putting in a code for him.
Great, yep.
So that's balanced that way, so he's not, you know, on it for hours and hours, but it's still trying to get... We say you can go on the Xbox as soon as the homework is done. It's trying to... So it's that sort of step. So the Xbox, I'm not so worried about. It's just trying to get the homework done so that he can have the Xbox as his reward. And he's trying to bypass the homework and just getting the reward.
Yes. Well, if he's used to, though, going straight home and going straight to the Xbox, you might need to think about another reward. Or, you know... You could have a look at a different routine, because if he's automatically just doing that, instead of going straight home, maybe go to a park and do something. Take a diversion. So any kind of natural routine that he would be used to, you need to change that somehow if you want to use the Xbox as a reward, I suppose. So when we're looking at rewards, I'll have just to go through a couple of things about what might be causing the reluctance as well is... knowing what they need to do, how do we know that they know what they're actually going to be doing with their homework, being careful not to assume that they already know what to do, because homework is not something that releases that feel-good hormone. It doesn't release happy, exciting hormones, does
it? No, it's
you know?
Boring.
It's boring.
Hello.
You know, so... You know, getting kids, it's, you know, this is where it gets really tricky to figure out what we can do with it. So, you know, breaking it up into small chunks might be, so if he's got a whole page, it's like, okay, we're going to do one question and then we get to do something else. Or, you know, you can have a bit of a break of some kind. When you come back, then we can, you know, do the next question. So it might be also those short breaks. And depending on your child, I find parents know their kids the best, right? So you've got to try different things that are going to, one, change the normal routine that you've got going. Two, breaking things up to small achievable tasks that then you can immediately reward. So if the homework is not giving him an immediate reward, what is going to give it? So if he's doing one question of his homework, then providing a sticker or some kind of incentive that you've already got at home, and making it I find also our tone of voice has a massive impact too. Having those high, happy tones, we're all going to do our homework, you know, we're all going to sit down together, you know, can actually, and I can speak from a lot of parents' experience in this who have said, I couldn't believe my tone of voice actually made such a massive difference. It's something so simple that can also help with that too. the next step was also knowing how to do it. Do our kids know how to do their homework? Do they know how to do those particular sums? Do they know how to do that spelling? Do they know how to do that math? Do they know how to plan for the next 3 weeks before their homework is due? So it's knowing what to do, knowing how to do it. And if we're very confident they know what to do, they know how to do it, then we need to look at their motivation drive.
Tamara from Byford, good call this morning.
Thank you.
All the best. Got some great tips there from Natalie. But you know what? You've won a $100 fuel card for just giving us a call today.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate that.
Yep. Thanks to station sponsor Runabout Metals, who give you cash on the spot for your scrap metal. So I think you need to get this fuel card, fill up your car, and maybe go for a drive. Take a diversion after school. So we'll put you back on hold tomorrow. That was a great call. So Natalie, we are out of time. We're heading into news. It's been such a great topic.
Yes.
And it was great talking to Tamara as well. Yep. We could either continue on next fortnight. There's so much to unpack in this space, isn't there?
Yeah, we
might continue. But really appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having me in.
My guest in the studio today has been Children Learning Specialist Natalie Nichols.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98.5ve.com.